Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
A good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, all back in studio. Lance back from Belize. I was in Chicago. And did you fly through Bush or yeah. Southwest or Hobby?
Bush.
Did you get out of there?
It's a nightmare.
It
takes forever to get out of there.
Dude, we got our car. 2 hours later, we got home.
I was better than that. We had to go from one gate to see, like, we're in E, so that whole process took about 40, and we had to go through customs. So that whole process took about an hour, and then getting your car, if you don't know this, the amount of work that they're doing construction at,
well, it's,
I mean, you sit and wait in the line for
it's so ever. Poorly constructed,
it
though.
It is.
Even, listen, there is a right lane, so the outside right lane is trying to get left. All the people that are parked in the seat parking lot can't get out because everybody's turning in to pick up people. It goes parking lot, it goes the C arrivals, and then it goes E arrivals. And so it's just a logjam. We finally got all the way. I swear, we were sat for an hour, couldn't even pay
it's
to get out of there. Couldn't even pay to get out of there.
I dread it so much. When I got back from L.A. when I was doing draft stuff, it took me – I just took a taxi. And it took forever to get out of there just in a taxi. It took me 30 minutes to get a taxi and 45 minutes to get out of just parking.
You know what everybody says? I tweeted it, and about 10 people said, you need to park in B, take the shuttle over to C, and then because that's 5 minutes.
Yeah, but how do you get from the place to your to
you
your
take the shuttle back to B.
Yeah, but the shuttle deals with all the traffic too, right?
No. It's underground. It's a train. It's a train.
Oh, then I need to do that.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Because this thing, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
This is every time I've come in and it shows no signs of getting better.
No, this is it's a train to get you over to B. And I've picked people up at B before and seen what's going on at C and gone, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God you didn't fly into C.
Yeah.
Because you just can't get through there. You can't. I've waited. I remember last time we went to Europe, I came back. It was 2 hours standing there waiting for the guy to pick us up.
It's unbelievable how bad it is.
And the cops, they make it worse. There was a cop at the end of E blocking all the traffic. It was like, I was like, are you kidding me? They don't care. No one seems to care. It is the worst. I'm flying in the Hobby from now on. I can't. I'm not doing it.
It's a problem. I mean, I've got to use United because that's what the league flies me with. But in personal flights, you know, you get your points or whatever.
I got all kinds of points. But you know what? It's not. It's so bad. You suck.
Yeah,
you suck, Bush.
I'm going to try B. The idea with B because it's.
If George Bush was alive today, is he alive?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Older George Bush.
Yeah, that's who he's named after. It's not after named.
No, yeah. No, yeah, I think he is.
Is he alive? No.
He is, right?
No.
Is he not?
No, I don't think so. He and Barbara both died, didn't they? If he was alive today, he would be pissed that they put his name on that piece of crap, the way that that thing is going. All right? No, he died. George Bush died. He was, remember, he was at the ball game in the wheelchair. Remember? You don't remember?
Yeah,
and
you're right.
And your former.
Wow, W is 75 now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so don't, right. Listen, park in this, but I'm telling everybody this, and now B's going to suck. Park in B and then shuttle over. That is the way to go about it because it sucks there. You suck at what you do, Bush Intercontinental.
Yeah,
you really suck at what you do. You know what? What did I learn this weekend? Guess what? Guess what mine is? What did I learn this weekend? That's going to happen at 7:45 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What happened to the Astros this weekend? What did I tell you about Seattle? What did I tell you?
I don't care about Seattle. What, they finally won a series in baseball?
They dominated Verlander, dominated Urquidy.
Then what did they do?
And then they got smacked. Then a two to one.
Then they got smacked. That smacked for the Astros offense
because of the heroics of Martin Maldonado, Machete.
And they scored their magic five. How many games have they won 5-1 this year? 5-1 or 5-0
No, it was three was the number.
Not yesterday.
No. But three was the magic number that they won. 3-2 Remember they won like four.
Oh, no. You got to look. There's like a bunch of 5-0s and 5-1s. They got another 5-1 yesterday with Fromber. You know who doesn't suck at his job? Fromber doesn't suck. Golly. Fromber was so efficient yesterday. The first complete game since I don't know when for the Astros. He pitched a complete game. The Astros kept him out there in the ninth inning. With over 90 pitches.
114 pitches.
Yeah.
That ain't like Dusty.
No, but they wanted him to have his shot to get the complete game. And look, Fromber was just his curveball. He didn't lose his stuff. Fromber only gave up two hits in nine innings. Fromber kept throwing that hook and dropping it right where he wanted to. Even when he got the walk, he had an 0-2 the first hitter of the inning. Fromber got ahead 0-2. I mean, threw what was probably the perfect out pitch. It was a low, that sharp curve down and in that barely missed the strike zone. And then, you know, the hitter kept battling. It was a good AB. Fromber walked him. But then got a strikeout, a pop out, and then another strikeout at the top of the zone, a little curveball top of the zone. And he was fantastic yesterday. You had Altuve ran into the first baseman, but looks like he's okay. But he was down on the ground for a little bit. You had Yordan with a couple of home runs. That game had everything. And, of course, the red hat Machete.
Uh-huh. It sure did. They have got 6 5-run games, and they have got at least 7 3-run games. Yeah, and they got 3 5-1 wins.
They're not, three, five, one scoring. Wins. I mean, right now they've got a tremendous run.
Nobody's scoring, though.
a tremendous run of three runs or less in multiple games over the last 15.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
It is what it is, but they're still, I mean, 31 and 18, and the rotation still looks wonderful. You know, you know Verlander's going to bounce back. Urquidy has been pretty up and down. Urquidy is probably the weakest. If you were to rank the starters in this rotation, Urquidy would be fifth on the list, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yep.
And
yeah, because Garcia had a good one the other day.
No, Garcia had another good one. Garcia's looked really, really good. Urquidy would be fifth. And maybe even the way that Odorizzi was pitching, maybe even sixth. And Javier, the way that Javier's pitched, other than that one outing in Washington, which I'll never forgive him for, he throws tonight against Montas, and we've seen him before. We've seen this action before. Frankie is a decent pitcher, so we'll see what happens. And then Verlander goes tomorrow afternoon against Irvin, and you know Verlander's probably pissed after that last outing in Seattle. So the Astros 31-18, lose 2 out of 3 to Seattle over the weekend, but then beat Oakland yesterday with two monster shots.
So he's the first player in Major League Baseball this year to hit at least two home runs of 440 feet in the same
unbelievable
game. And he joins Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani as the only major leaguers with at least 3 multi-home run games this year, and he's tied with Gary Sanchez for the most multi-home run games, 11, in a player's first 276 career games in Major League history. So, exit velo, 113.9.
Wow.
And 110. So, wow. He smacked it both times.
He is, when he gets a hold of it, holy shnikes, can he hit that thing. Wow. Those were two monster shots. The first one, here, play the first one where he hit it off the facade. Ty Callis is just—he is beside himself. How far Yordan hit this ball?
Just
oh my goodness! This is crushed way up there towards Mount Davis, off the facade of the second deck.
Love that, Todd, with a great call there. Flash. And then Altuve's, that thing was going, and it kept on going. It kept on going. And then and got out, and he blasted that one. And then Yordan again. Here is Yordan's second home run. And here's Todd Callis' call, AT&T Sportsnet.
ACL. This ball crushed to right center field. Forget about it. He's done it again. Air Jordan with some long distance flights today. This one deep into the seats in right center. His second home run of the game, and the Astros lead 5-1.
Those are the two headliners, Jordan and Fromber. And Fromber, 114 pitch complete game. When's the last? I just found it. When's the last complete game for the Astros? You're going to be surprised who threw it. He's a guy who was known to go 4 2/3, 5 sometimes. Everyone had a quick hook on him. Not Dusty. Dusty would. AJ had a quick hook on him.
That's the last complete game. Well, Verlander threw a no hitter.
Zach Greinke.
Oh, Greinke, yeah.
2021.
Oh, yeah.
He did it this last year. Zach Greinke, in June 4th of 2021, had a 9-inning complete game.
Oh, yeah.
Against Toronto when they were playing in Buffalo. He said that he, Mark Kotze, the A's manager, said this about Fromber. He said, Valdez is a bulldog. That's a bulldog right there. That guy, really impressive day on his end. Breaking ball is a weapon. He's got 95 miles an hour in the ninth inning at pitch number 113. Tough day for us offensively, but you have to tip your cap to the opposing starter. You know, Fromber did hit, I thought it was 94 on the gun, but 95 on the gun, his 113th pitch, which is a good fastball. But when they keep saying bulldog, and you see that curveball, and you see the body type and build, it is so Mike Hampton.
It is.
I mean, that whole bulldog, when he just called him a bulldog, it really – well, Hampton was a good pitcher for the Astros.
For the Astros.
Now, I think Fromber's got better.
And he got $100 million, and he just –
yeah, well, he went to Colorado.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you go to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, would you like all the money but your career to end? I guess so. Okay. See you in Colorado. But Fromber right now, man, just really dealing, and impressive game for him. The Astros just – that's as good as they're going to do offensively right now. They're just not going to. It's just not going to.
Well, that's not as. Oh yeah, five runs. Yeah, I mean, that's them right now. Yeah,
that's about as good as they're going to do. I mean, they'll pop up every once in a while, but that's really what you're looking at. I mean, they've got to run. If you go look at the amount of games now that they are three runs or less, it is a lot here over the last 15 or 16. That's just who they've been. But they keep winning games because the pitching has been so good. And you go Garcia followed by Fromber and some back-to-back gems. Of course, you did have an unusual start for Justin Verlander getting roughed up while we were, you know, over the weekend. But hopefully that's the only one we see like that. Verlander's been money the entire year until that one game.
Yep. All right, 713 up. ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We'll look at everything else that was going on over the weekend, including the Celtics getting to the NBA Finals and a whole lot more if you want to talk some hockey as well. I was in Chicago. It's funny. You know, it's like the NBA playoffs didn't even exist there. It's like all NHL. Of course, my family's a lot of NHL fans. So,
and Chicago's the NHL. I mean, that team's not good now, but
no,
they have been good. I was there when they were in the finals, and I was like, "Holy crap!"
Well,
whole city is on fire for the Blackhawks.
About 6-7 years ago, whatever. Me and JT went to one of their playoff games. It was as good an atmosphere as any game you'll ever go to. That's how fun they are. All right, 7-4-13 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, we need some insurance, Lance.
TJS Insurance can help you then. If you want homeowners insurance, but you're not shopping for the best rates possible, you're paying way too much. The average savings for TGS users is about $900 annually. And here's what happens. TGS has a variety of A-rated insurance companies that they aggregate, and they basically work to find you the best rate possible by going through a variety of A-rated companies in a matter of seconds. And they do this with an algorithm that they have built in on the back end. You give them your address. You text the word money to 232323. They ask for your address. You give it to them. And then within 15 seconds, you are going to see an A-rated insurance company pop up with a quote for you. Within 15 seconds, it's incredible. And that rate that you are going to get makes all the difference in the world in saving you money and being able to, you know, put some of that money back in your pocket. You don't want to give up the quality of your insurance. You want A-rated insurance, but you want a competitive rate, and that's why TGS can help you shop for multiple Shop multiple A-rated companies, and it really is going to make a difference with what you're paying. Text the word money to 232323. That's tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Try as they might, the Boston Celtics couldn't give that one away. Holy crap. They had an 11-point lead, and Marcus Smart decides to start shooting three-pointers. It was like, what the hell?
Smart was so stupid.
It was.
That's how
I mean, he misses
was.
It. They grab a long rebound, pass it right back to, and he puts it up right away again instead of using some clock, instead of driving to the basket, instead of trying to get a foul, instead of anything. I mean, just couldn't have been worse. I hear so many people giving Jimmy Butler the business about, and including Jeff Van Gundy, giving him the business about the 3-point shot.
At the pull-up quickness?
Yeah. Well, that's your best player. He's got an open look. He's going one-on-one against Al Horford, who's backing up, you know, and giving him the shot, as opposed to driving to the hole against one of the best inside defenders in the game. I like the shot. I didn't mind it at all. Now,
I was okay with it, but I understand what people were. I understand the concern is making sure you get the best shot possible. Sometimes the best shot possible is an early offense, and you know
he's got to look.
When you
Jimmy
don't
Butler's
got
to look. If he'd have passed it up, everybody would have said, "Oh, come, you're their best player. This is on you." How many shots did Michael Jordan miss? Way more shots than he made at the end. I mean, that just happens.
Yeah, yeah. But I understood what people are saying is you got to, you know, you really want to. We're kind of conditioned to getting the best programmed look, and sometimes the look just happens, and you fire, but. It was considered. I was watching that. I was at Kobo's place for the Scum Bash. I was there. I got back on Saturday night and went over to Kobo's because my guy Oscar and Frankie Cardona, Jerry, they're having their Scum Bash. So they have all their merch, and it was a good.
Everybody
little turnout,
had scumbag but, shirts on.
Yeah,
did you wear
yeah.
your scumbag shirt?
I had my scumbag shirt. Huh. So they had the game on. We were watching out there, and I tell you what, man, it was a fun time going out there and having the pops over there and watching the games, but you got the sense that I just never really felt good about. I mean, it was a wire to wire job where Miami got out, Boston got out on them quick, and they just never quite were able to make it back. You could see Miami getting closer, and then they trail off again, and closer, and they trail off, and you kept it at 6, 7, 11. You know, it popped up and down. And then right at the end, you thought, oh, my God, are they going to blow this thing completely? And had they hit, they did not get a good look at three at the end of the game with 11 seconds to go. I almost wonder if it would have been better just to try to get a quick two because there was so much defense around the perimeter. Maybe Miami just penetrate, get a quick two, and with 8 seconds left, turn it into the foul, you know, just extend it a little bit.
Well, quick two ties it. So.
Well, no, they were down four, I'm talking about. When they were down four, get a quick two. Maybe cut it to two instead of firing up the wild threes where people were all over them.
Yeah. Well, they did everything they could. They got back into the game, and they were down by two, and they had the ball after the miss, another miss by Boston. It was unbelievable how piss poor Boston was with that lead in the last 2 minutes of the game. And, you know, they had their shot. And you got your ball in the hands of your best player. Now, Jimmy Butler is a pretty good three-point shooter too, but how often he just dribbles up. And it's a different shot, you know, as opposed to catching it and going up when you're running forward and you stop and you pop. He didn't use his legs, you know, and he was way short on it. It wasn't a great shot, but I thought it was the right play. If you want to know the truth, Jimmy Butler's got an open look. I want Jimmy Butler with the ball.
I think Golden State has had a lot of time to get ready to prepare exactly. You know, there's a big advantage for Kerr and the coaching staff from a defensive standpoint to really fine-tune. Now, you have to prepare for two different teams, but I think they spent probably more time on Boston because Boston did have the lead going into Game 6. So I think they are going to, from a defensive standpoint, be ahead of what where Boston would be in terms of creating game plan for Golden State. Although, you know, those two teams, it's not like they hook up immediately afterwards. But I kind of like Golden State in six in this. I think Boston is obviously talented enough, and Tatum is good enough, and they're a very athletic team. I mean, Boston's a very long, athletic team. But I just think when it's all said and done, I just don't know if Boston's going to be able to handle the barrage of shooting. And Boston can play some defense, but I didn't love the way they've handled the pick and roll at times in that series. So I like Golden State. And well, Golden State's a favorite.
Yeah, Golden State's going
to be 165, I think, minus 165.
As well, they should be. The Golden State is probably, and they got the home court advantage. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in this one. It is, I don't know, Boston has been the best team in basketball, if you want to know the truth, over the last, after their start, their horrific start. And they played some pretty damn good basketball. And Jason Tatum is turning into a superstar. Jason Tatum is turning into a guy that can put his team on his back, though. We'll see. I know that I like Golden State, too, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Boston doesn't get him. 713-780-3776. Anybody else wants in here, you're more than welcome to get in. Take the day off. Play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament will take place Tuesday, June 14th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Did you see, I tweeted out this weekend, for whatever reason, Kyrie Irving, The Rockets are the second favorite to land him this offseason.
I can't see that. I saw the odds. What in the world, where would that come from?
Well, here's the deal is,
Kyrie is a loser.
I know this. Other than this
player, loser.
This number three pick, and you know this as well. Other than this number three pick, and there's a possibility, we heard Rafael Stone say this multiple times in his press conference immediately after they got the number three selection, is if we pick it.
Yeah,
he's
put that on the, he's put that out there. More than twice he put it out that,
and I had an opportunity to sit and talk with Tillman a little bit, and he's like, I'm telling you, they don't value all of these multiple first round picks. I mean, you ain't winning in the NBA with a bunch of, you know, 20 year olds. They want to pick up some veteran, some really good veteran.
Get a
presence.
Guy who likes basketball. Then don't get Kyrie, who only sometimes does and pretends to, and then he's hurt, and then he's got. Needs his personal days off.
They don't. Like, what they don't need is more drama.
No, that's all he is. Kyrie's been drama forever. He was drama in Cleveland. He's drama in Boston. He's been drama in New Jersey. For what? Build a team that fans can get behind. Kyrie is not a guy that's a likable guy for the fan base. He's not. I don't care. He's a good basketball player. He does some great things. Very talented. But Kyrie Irving is not committed to being the best to win a championship. He's not committed to other guys. He's committed to Kyrie. And at some point, you have to be willing to be committed to the group. And he's not. His own GM is calling him out. His own GM basically said, yeah, we got to see about Kyrie's commitment to basketball. That's a bad sign. Somebody else is already telling you what the problem is, as though you can't see it yourself. Don't take Kyrie Irving. Don't do it if you're the Rockets. I'm fine with getting a veteran in here. Don't take that guy because he'll tantalize you with the talent, but ultimately it is only about him. It is not going to be about Jalen. It's not going to be about Şengün. It will not be about Steven Silas. It will be about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving doesn't believe in coaches. He doesn't believe that coaches should tell players what to do at all. He doesn't believe in coaching.
No.
He said, we coach it. We'll all do this as a collective. Me and KD, we'll work to coach this team. Along with Steve Nash, like, what? Dude, no. Kyrie Irving is exactly what you don't want for a young team.
No, no. Hell
I mean,
no.
You want to talk about a guy that will poison your locker room.
Hell no.
Poison the way of thinking. Kyrie doesn't believe in showing up and playing on a regular basis, and he doesn't believe in coaching.
Kyrie will be made. Oh, I don't know. You know, I mean, when he was with the Celtics, they were better without him. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals
without
him. They
were better before. Then they had to overcome Kyrie. And then they got better after he's gone.
It's amazing. I don't even know. RJ, get in here. RJ, what?
Like, I don't really see us having a head coach. What? He said that that was in 2020, December 1st, 2020. He said, I don't really see us having a head coach.
What team would Kyrie actually fit in on?
Why am I talking myself into him? Because I feel like he's coming over here.
Oh, gosh. You want him on the Lakers and that?
Lakers.
You want to talk about a drama-filled team already?
Lakers.
I think the only person that can keep him in check is LeBron. I think that's the only person that can keep him in check. Keep him honest. Where Kyrie may be like, oh, LeBron, you know.
Didn't they want it away from each other?
He did, but he's also a guy that apologized to LeBron, like, oh, I was young, I couldn't see it. The media. I think that LeBron, like Kyrie's going to say, LeBron, I need 2 weeks off, and LeBron's going to be like, listen, we play in about an hour. I'll see your ass at Crypto. And LeBron and Kyrie's going to show up.
LeBron cares about right now. LeBron really understands his mortality from a career standpoint. He has a very limited amount of time left. He knows that's kind of a dead team. He'd be willing to take chances. But you would have to convince LeBron that you're a different guy. I don't think LeBron's going to take a bunch of chances right now. He wants guys that he knows are in it with him. Because, you know, LeBron is a guy that's going to do everything he can to win a title. We know that. And if you're not on board to do it, that's just not going to work with LeBron. So I don't know. This is going to be interesting.
LeBron is desperate right now, though. LeBron is desperate because of the stupid moves that he's made as a general manager over these last couple of years have really bit him in the ass. They couldn't even make the playoffs.
That's my retort, because what I'm saying is, okay, LeBron, we did it your way last year. You got us the tapioca pudding brigade. So, I mean, you know, if we're going to try this Kyrie
veterans
thing.
Always do that. They make teams old. If you let them start telling you who they want, they start adding the oldest dudes.
You know what I would think? I would think that Houston team with Barkley, Scottie, and Akeem would beat this old team. This team of old geezers, if we really want to call it.
Team was hard to watch.
Yeah, that team was old. But then that team made the Western Conference Finals, didn't they?
Well, no, not with Scottie.
Not with Scottie.
With Clyde.
Yeah.
With Clyde, they did. Yeah, remember, this is what Amari Stoudemire said about him. Amari Stoudemire was an assistant for the Nets for 2 years. We can always speculate on if he played, we may have won a championship. We could have had a chance to compete for a title, which is true. It could have definitely helped us on the side of competing for a championship. But we don't know that for sure. We got teams playing great basketball, but we don't know for sure we could have won a championship if Kyrie would have played. It enhanced our chances, but there's no guarantee. He also went on to say, I think it hurts us. It definitely hurt us because we didn't have the consistency with Kyrie enough to build chemistry for the group or the team. He plays only on away games, depending on which city it is. Can't play in New York, so therefore we have different lineups and different matchups depending on game schedule. It made it difficult for us as coaches to figure out who's going to play in spite of Kyrie. The chemistry is not quite there for how we would like it to be. It was difficult for us to manage that. But, you know, the other thing that was said was that he's just not, and this has been out there in basketball circles, he's just not coachable. And Steven Silas is not. I want Steven Silas to succeed. He seems kind of meek from a coaching standpoint. Like, John Lucas is the hard ass, and John's the one who scrapped with Kevin Porter Jr. You had Christian Wood saying, I'm not going in. Like, do you really? I would assume Christian Wood's going to be off the team anyway. But do you really want a guy who doesn't even believe in coaches to have to deal with you know, Kevin Porter Jr. on that team? Would KPJ still be on the team if you brought a Kyrie in? He would, A, disrespect Steven Silas early on, would have no respect for him, would start taking days off, and would immediately be a concern for me personally about how the players in that locker room are going to meld with him.
Well, speaking of him, that's another story. Kelly Iko did a nice piece on what can happen, where could Christian Wood go. We'll talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. And but in the meantime, though, what about your roof?
AO1 Roofing. And with AO1 Roofing, you get a roof at an affordable price from a guy who makes it his job to do the very best that he possibly can to put you at ease and to understand that at when you call 713-715-ROOF, you are going to get someone who can come out and work with you on finding any issues that may have developed with your roof over time. They can work with your insurance company to get that taken care of. There's a lot of insurance companies right now that are not giving homeowners insurance because of roofing issues, and they're demanding that you get new roofs, and that's where AO1 can step in and help you out. I can tell you this much. At AO1 Roofing, they will keep a clean work site. They will get the job done quickly for you, and they will give you an affordable price for your roofing. They do work with insurance companies to keep you out of it if you want to stay completely out of it. But here's the other thing. If you need re-roofing, they will get the re-roofing done, and you get a 4,500-watt generator free of charge while supplies last. So re-roofing, if you know you need a roof, now's the time to do it, because you can get that 4,500-watt generator right now, free of charge, before you have hurricane season roll in on us. AO1 Roofing, go to AO1Roofing.com or simply call 713-715-ROOF.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One big question, is Christian Wood going to be on this team next year? You got the number 3 pick coming in, and what kind of pick is that going to be? You got Alperen Şengün. Here's Alperen Şengün's last, Kelly Iko pointed this out, his last 6 outings, 9.6 rebounds, 8 assists, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 14 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 12.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. And then there's a block in there as well for in every game. Alperen Şengün is a guy I think they're high on. Alperen Şengün, you know, they eased him in. And you wanted to see more minutes from him. They tried to play Şengün and Wood together. That didn't work out. Although Kelly Iko put together a highlight reel of Şengün assists to Christian Wood. Mm-hmm. It was sweet. There were a lot of good plays. But together on the floor, they're not. It's not a good pair.
There was a good article. Kelly wrote a good article, and he talked about potentially Stacey Augmon. You know, the Rockets very quietly got rid of their staff.
Yeah.
Other than John Lucas. So there's some talent on the team to have that many losses. There's talent, and you had a bunch of losses, and so I think the concern is who can get the most out of this talent, and you know, how can we get better defensively? But the question about, he brought up hiring Stacey Augmon because Augmon is close with Christian Wood. He recruited Christian Wood to college. So, to me, you're not making coaching decisions based on Christian Wood.
No.
I can't see Christian Wood.
Odds being Christian here Wood is a Rocket and at the start of next season.
Put it at 50%.
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip, too.
I think it's a coin flip.
As a matter of fact, no, I think it's more likely that he won't be there.
I'm fine with that, too. It's just you're going to have to find the right deal. Like, you're going to have to find a trade to make it happen.
Okay. I'm going to put this out there. RJ, you ready? Yay or nay? Wood in the 17th pick to Charlotte for Mason Plumlee, P.J. Washington, and the 13th pick.
Which I saw that, and I mean,
I think P.J. Washington is the kind of guy, a role player, that could actually contribute on a good
Plumlee's
team.
Plumlee's an athletic big, you know.
Yeah, he's going to be backup.
He's a backup, yeah.
And
then you've basically gained 4 spots.
Yeah. But I don't know what that means in the NBA draft at 13 and 17.
You
know?
Okay, how about this? Let me throw this at you. The Miami Heat receive Christian Wood. In return, you'll get the 2023 first-round pick from Miami and Duncan Robinson.
So you got to take on a contract, but he's a stretch four who can shoot it. That is...
Who is on the bench for them.
Yeah, I know, but it's because it's not a good matchup. I mean, yeah, it's an issue. They would want to deal it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big win for Miami.
I wonder if you have to do a sign and trade for Christian.
But you get
Wood
the first, you get their first pick. But Miami's going to be a good team. That's going to be a late pick. Plus, I'm telling you here and now, guys, I would be surprised after this number three pick. I'm going to be surprised if the Rockets how many of these draft picks that they've got coming up are actually going to be on this team.
Well, here's the problem. If you did just Christian Wood for Duncan Robinson, let's think of it that way, because that's basically what you're doing. I would argue that right now Christian Wood has more basketball value than Duncan Robinson. I don't think that's a hard thing to argue, but there are teams. Christian Wood is also a guy who refused to go into check into a game.
Yeah.
Christian Wood is a guy who was
Butler.
Yeah, Christian Wood is a guy who is known as as potentially being a guy that is – look, we're going to start saying this more and more now. Coachability of players is becoming a major concern in sporting world, where they want to make sure – teams want to make sure they get guys that are still on board with being part of a team and not just themselves. Christian Wood, word has it out there that Christian Wood is not as easy to move as he should be based on his talent.
He needs a Jimmy Butler. He really needs a Jimmy Butler that will set him straight. He pulls the kind of crap, or he has an attitude, or I'm not scoring, I'm not touching the ball, all of that crap. Jimmy Butler will put that dude in his place and say, "You play. This is how we play basketball."
I got.
Let me ask
you
this one.
Oh, go ahead.
One more.
Got another one.
Houston trades Christian Wood to Memphis
for Ja.
We all can dream. Memphis will give you in return Brandon Clark, DeAnthony Melton, and their 2022 first-round pick, which is number 22 overall. So that what? That gives you what? 3-17 and or what? 3-13
yeah, again, and I'm telling you, they don't 22? Want that. They don't want more 17, 22, 13,
unless
14
you can
overall
tie them
picks
up and move forward.
Well, that's it.
And you
though.
Have to
that's
be willing
yeah,
to take
right.
it.
Yeah, but again, those picks are not getting you really good players. How about this?
What do you think?
How about
of that?
This? How about this?
Yeah.
Wood to New York with the Milwaukee's 2023 first round pick. They're 17 Rockets 17th pick overall. Their second round pick for Cam Reddish, Nerlens Noel, and the 11th pick. Cam Reddish is going to be better than he has been.
Yeah, Nerlens is just a guy.
Nerlens is just probably he's a backup to help to Şengün. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would consider it. I would consider any number of picks to move Wood out, because I just think Wood is not a good personality fit.
Would you like Cam? I wouldn't mind Cam Reddish on this team.
Cam Reddish would be fine with me.
Yeah.
Reddish. You once again, though, I think it is important that you establish your pecking order. So you need the right players to fit the right roles. And that means, is your personality going to be okay with being behind two very young guys in Şengün and Jalen Green, who the Rockets are going to have to build around them while they're not even fully ripe bananas yet or fully ripe. You know, there's still a lot of growth for those two to have. But you almost have to create a culture where these two guys are the two guys you're moving forward with.
Would it shock either of you? Would it shock either of you if they moved Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. was part of it?
No.
I don't think it would shock me either.
No, but that's a lot of talent and a lot of downside. There's a lot of upside and downside with those two guys. If you had Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr., you immediately give a lot of talent and explosive scoring to any team that would take them.
They got a fade. Now let's not forget that's the I quit team, pair.
I know that would be potentially, but that would be maybe appealing to a team that has a hard time, you know, finding superstars. I don't know who it would be.
Those two need a strong locker room is what they need.
I'll throw one more out to you guys. Because according to reports, it's still a standing offer by Houston. So trade us Christian Wood. We'll take the contract to John Wall, which I feel like the Lakers are going to do this. We'll take the contract for John Wall. We'll give you Westbrook in our pick. Like, I think that's in like next year or 2 years. So we'll give you Westbrook in the pick. You get off Westbrook's contract next year, so you eat
that. So all you get out of it for Christian Wood is a pick? No.
Yeah.
Hell no.
What would the pick be?
What is their pick?
I think it's like 2 years down the line. Oh, but that, no. I mean, that was the original offer, and according to there's a report out there that says that Houston has a standing offer, at least possibly with John Wall,
getting, but possibly getting more. Cam Reddish or PJ Washington. It's all you're going to get is for him as a pick? Hells no. Look at how he's trying to work this deal for
the
Lakers. Look how he's working.
That's a desperate move. That's not a move. Like, I'd be like, all y'all fired. Get out. We are blowing this whole thing up. Whatever you smoking, take it back. But I mean, that's what they're going to do.
I got one for you. Hang on. How about Christian Wood and one of your first round picks for Desmond Bain? I mean, that dude can shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to just have him. I'm just wondering if Memphis would be willing to give up a player like Bane, who has that kind of stroke for a guy like, I mean, he's 43% from three, 90% from the free throw line.
I don't think they give him up for
phenomenal
Wood.
Shooter. I doubt it either.
Why would they do that?
I doubt it either. You'd have to.
I mean, you only got 1 year left on Wood, unless you came to a long-term deal with Wood. But what are you going to give Wood? Wood wants to be a max guy? I don't know. RJ may be right. Just to get out of that thing, because of what Christian Wood is going to demand.
Yeah, but he's still got a year left on his contract. I mean, it's
you're not giving up
value.
Bane for a 1 year.
We're talking about a guy who could become a season long 2010 guy. I mean, that's still value there. Christian Wood is a talented basketball player, and he's got range.
Yep.
So I mean, you should be able to get more than this. But once again, I just heard last year around trade deadline the talk around the NBA. Talking to some people was that Christian Wood is not an easy guy to move because no one wants to give you what you would expect value to be. Nobody. They feel like they've got leverage over the Rockets because the Rockets know they've got a player who is, has on the record been a guy who wouldn't go into a game. That's considered the no-no in basketball.
All right, when we come back, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? All right, so I know what mine is. I know what mine is, and you're going to catch it, Bush Intercontinental. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It was a long weekend. Happy Memorial Day. I hope you all had a wonderful Memorial Day. I hope you thanked those who gave their lives for our country. All the sacrifice, the biggest sacrifice that you could possibly give, your life for our country. And you learned something. Did you learn something about your family? Did you learn something about sports? Did you learn something about your wife? Did you learn something about your kids? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to tell us what you learned this weekend in one sentence. I was with my family over in Chicago this weekend, and I learned that they really think my hair is wonderful. They're like, wow, your hair is unbelievable. And I had to give all the credit to Doc Linville. I mean, he gets all the credit. I don't. Doc Linville gets the credit. I grew it on the sides and back of my head, but Doc Linville's the one who moved it up to the top of my head. He did that. I didn't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Really smart people know more than I do. They're like, PhDs and MDs, and they're really smart, and they've got all these degrees, which is smarter than I am, which they know how to move hair. Doc knows how to move hair. Neo-grafting. He'll move your hair from the side to the top. And if you want to get that done, it's very simple. It's a wonderful process. You'll love it. 975hair.com. You're looking to move your hair from the side to the top. 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
And I wonder if you know what it
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You get one sentence to tell us. Was it something about your family? Was it something about your wife, your kids? Was it something about your girlfriend and your wife and your kids? Was it something about your, I don't know, your health? Was it something about sports? What did you learn this weekend? You get one sentence to tell us. 780-3776. And we got a full board, so as soon as somebody gets off, you can get in. Who's first? Will was first up. Will, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
The mofongo in Puerto Rico is the best food in the Caribbean.
Mofongo is the best food. He said food in the Caribbean, right?
Okay.
I don't know what mofongo is. What is it?
I respect it. I don't know. He said in Puerto Rico, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
I don't
best
know.
Food. Yeah, like I learned in Prague, the best food was a Trisdelnik, which was a ice cream inside of a waffle.
Yeah.
No, inside of a pretzel with salt. Oh, it was unbelievable. And cinnamon.
I learned that some of the best chocolate you can get anywhere is in Belize, at the Belize Chocolate Factory.
Really?
They've got
that's it. That's one sentence. That's it.
Yeah.
One sentence.
A couple British people there.
Well, that's two sentences.
I learned they can really pound through some champagne in Belize.
Oh, yeah?
It's nuts. There's pros. I mean, those are pros out on that island.
You did like four sentences.
I know. Those are multiple things I learned.
You get one sentence. There's Heather Dinnett. She's our friend. Who's next? Ocho is next. Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that Jaylen Brown got screwed out of the Eastern Conference Finals MVP award.
Huh. That's interesting. I thought it was Tatum. Who'd you think? Did you think Jaylen Brown got screwed?
No, I'd go Tatum, too. Brown had some really big moments, but I'd go Tatum.
Yeah, I would have gone Tatum, I think. Martin, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned not to bet against Real Madrid and champions.
Yep. The Champions League final. Your squad, Liverpool, got smacked. Oh, no, you're an Arsenal guy. I forgot.
No. Well, I'm going to tell you this.
Well,
Real Madrid, they
were beating 1-0.
Well, but Real Madrid beat Man City.
Yeah.
They beat PSG. And everything, I was reading about it after, and it was like, well, Liverpool, you know, was the big favorite. But Liverpool, I'm like, how about give some credit to Real Madrid?
Yeah, it was. They weren't a big favorite. I mean, it was.
No, they were a big favorite.
Liverpool
was.
In that one?
Yes, in that one. Yes.
Not where I was looking.
Really?
Yeah. They weren't a big favorite.
Where I saw that read it the morning of the game, Liverpool is a heavy favorite here.
Huh. Well, where I looked, it was not. I'm trying to remember if it was minus. I know the over-under on goals scored. But, yeah, it was Champions League is one of these cool. For those who don't know, Champions League is basically like the.
Oh, no. It was a pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Well,
even.
No. It was 100. Real Madrid was a plus 250 underdog.
Well, no, but there's but, tie. You're going plus 250. Then what was Liverpool and then the match 90 tie
on the 90 minute money line?
Yeah, I know. But then it's plus 250 Liverpool and then draw. So right. You have three of them. Do you have the other ones?
Well, they were. There's a big difference for the books. Obviously, minus 101. Plus 250 and then plus 270 on a draw.
Oh, so minus 101. Yeah. So you don't have to lay a lot, but yeah, it was to win an extra time. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good price. So what's really cool about Champions League is it's like an all-star. First of all, it's like an all-star appearance from multiple teams. So multiple teams from multiple leagues descend on Champions League. It's awesome. It's like the World Cup only with your top clubs. So players from different countries who play together. The World Cup, you have to remember, it's great because it's country versus country, but it's not the best that those players sometimes will play on better clubs than they will be playing for their own country teams, because every club on the highest level is already an all-star team. So you're dealing with all-star teams on the club level, and then you take the best of those teams from different levels, La Liga, Bundesliga, the Premier League, you know, and here they come into Champions League. I think it's awesome. It's a lot of fun to keep up with.
Yep. Yeah. Liverpool to win the title was minus 185. So, 713-780-3776. Jay is here. Jay, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Make babies appear out of their pants out of nowhere.
What'd he say?
Do it. Say it again, Jay.
That women can make a babies appear out of their pants from nowhere.
Okay, I saw that video, and I'm never going to be okay anymore.
I didn't see it.
The lady standing up? Is that what you're talking about?
And had a baby?
Bro, just keep talking. I'll find it right now. It is. You're never going to be okay.
I have not seen it. Next up is Tom. Tom, what did you learn this weekend? One sentence.
By a woman because she hung up on a guy. Because when you find out who the guy is, then he's an absolute loser.
Okay, we missed the beginning of that. Can you start over again, please?
Yeah. The only thing worse than being rejected by a woman because she's hung up with a guy is when you find out who the guy is and he's an absolute loser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a bad.
Yeah,
that's bad. Right.
Yeah, no. That's awful, awful, awful. I'm sorry you learned that this weekend, Tom. Ben, what'd you learn this weekend?
Hey, instead of going from my mailbox to the trash, I am saving every coupon now.
Saving every coupon.
See, I feel like there's some things that do need that we should be allowed to ask a follow up question. Hmm. What it's in reference to? Because he maybe has a great story that we need to know.
Oh, he might. Well, I hope he calls us back and gives us that story. Scott, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
There you go. That's what
he learned to put on the seatbelt.
Oh, I learned also, by the way, I looked on my flight coming back, and I was first to be upgraded, and my wife was second. And I was like, okay, we're both going to be upgraded into first class on the trip back. But if one person had booked or paid that extra to book into first class, I would have had another decision to make. And what I learned was I was willing. What time is it? She's listening. I was not willing to.
You were willing
to. I was not willing to do that a second time. I learned that it was a bad decision for me to. Here's what I learned, that my wife used that. She had already texted multiple people that I was in first class and she was not in first class. When she told me to sit there and bring her a drink, and I basically did what she wanted. I didn't want to sit in first class. Told me to and made me get a drink.
For those of you who don't know, you weren't listening, Lance went to Belize. He got upgraded to first class, and he took it, and he put his wife back in.
I asked her, and she goes, yes. She said, sure, you can take it. Just bring me a drink. And I thought, okay, first of all, this is going to be used against me, but I don't care. It's on now. And trust me, it was used more than I expected.
One of the worst decisions. And I told my wife, and so now we'll talk about this in a little bit. Eddie, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Eddie, what did you learn this weekend? Pull him up there. There you go. Hey, Eddie, what did you learn this weekend?
I learned that Lance will do everything in his power to derail this segment.
That's messed up, Eddie. It's not true. I like this segment. I'm trying to make this segment better, though.
David, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that after beating the Astros 2 out of 3 times, the Mariners are one of the best fourth-place teams.
David, that's a shot at me. I'm going to tell you this right now. They are going to finish ahead. They're going to finish in second place in the division. They're going to finish in second place.
Mariners?
Mariners are. They're 6.5 out. Don't look at it.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. I have to see this video now. Learned this weekend for the second time that Intercontinental blows. That's all there is to it. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. You suck. All right, it's 7:58. Good job again. Everybody loves this segment, even though Lance tries to derail it, as Eddie said. 713-780-3776. You got anything that you want to discuss from this weekend or beyond? You're more than welcome to get in here at 713-780-3776. Right now, we're talking about the Morley Law Firm. Those are my peeps over there. And if you've got any issue whatsoever, I don't know what's happened. I don't know. Did you get a DUI? Because you need assistance. You need help on this thing because it can go bad. And I don't know how you handled it at the scene, but these guys know. They know what to do in that instance. Are you getting a divorce? These guys know. They can help you in your quest for child, for your children, for support, whatever the case may be. You have an immigration problem, say habla español. They are here for you. And they've got an immigration department where a lot of people don't. They don't know how to handle this thing. They don't know what to do in immigration instances. And the Morley Law Firm does. Any instance, any accident, any insurance problem that you have, any representation that you need, civilly or criminally, they're here for you. Plenty, unbelievable experience, wonderful guys. They're going to listen to your problem, and they're going to tell you how, if and how that they can help you. 713-839-9955. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.